Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, everybody, 15 days to the election. Chuck Bonniewell and Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, advanced acupuncture and Chinese medicine. I know, it's one of those things that's kind of like Christmas or weddings or any big event, right? It seems like it's forever, forever. And then all of a sudden, poof, it's, you know, it's here.
Right there, yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom, you can type your comments in and we'll be sure to read those, or go ahead and raise your hand and you can chime in as well. But wanted to start off today talking about Trump at McDonald's and what I saw a headline, which I will steal. I'm saying the left is having a McMeltdown, and then adding with the Kamala stuff, would you like some lies with that? I mean, in the history of campaigning, I mean, that's got to be, don't you think, the most epic troll of all time, right?
There was one 135 years ago, Grover Cleveland, who was trying to be like Trump. In fact, the only president who'd done it, to be elected and not win the second term and then win it 4 years later. He was found to have an illegal child. So they all go, "Ma, Ma, where's my pa?" And
that was the slogan.
That's the slogan. And they all replied, "Going to the White House, ha, ha, ha." So we remember that 135 years. And I think 135 years from now, I think it will remind him of this McDonald's.
Well, and here's the thing. And who knows if it was like Trump's idea or his campaign idea, but there are so many things about this. Number one, it's fun just to see the left melt down. I mean, the left is saying this was just a PR stunt. The McDonald's wasn't even open.
It was staged. It's like, he didn't go through a hiring process. He didn't have to submit a resume.
It's like, no, that was staged. I mean, Donald Trump didn't just walk in there, submit it, you know. And then you look at, like, they show them, like, all the set cutaway shots, like when Joe Biden would get a COVID shot. They even have a fake White House set for
Joe Biden.
Kamala Harris can't do an interview, and this we'll talk about later, without CBS editing the heck out of it, right? I mean, for the left to complain that Donald Trump staged this, like, somehow.
Well, what else can they do? I mean, exactly. They were left with nothing. And so but it's made it worse, because
Yes. Normally
when something comes off very well for Trump, you just ignore by the left.
Right.
They can just, you know, not do anything. This one they couldn't. And so they did it. You know, it's staged. They can't. What do you mean? Where is there proof that you didn't work there? Like, the absence of proof is evidence of the fact. I mean, it's just pathetic. I mean, it's pathetic. And the Trump people won't know it, but the Democrats know it. Your Social Security follows you everywhere, because they have to keep track for what they repay you and stuff, even if it's not very much over the life of your retirement. So it's there. You know, if she worked at McDonald's, they would have had to pay her, unlike Trump, and that record and what they took out for Social Security is available. But they're locking down that, I promise you.
That's what Charlene is saying. No, a PR stunt. Exactly. I mean, it's ridiculous. And here's the thing, and this is why they particularly hate it. Because, I mean, think about it. Donald Trump could pull that off. You could watch that. And you could see he's actually kind of sincerely looking at how they make the French fries.
He wants to eat them.
He's sincerely getting a kick out of handing the fries to people and talking to the staff. And I would say that Donald Trump is at heart a sales guy.
Right.
And that's how sales guys are. Anybody who knows sales guys, they're like that all over the place. They can make friends. No, they can make friends with anybody. They're friends with everybody. They're totally comfortable. Bill Clinton could have probably pulled that off.
Absolutely.
Hillary Clinton could not.
Not so much.
Kamala Harris could not have pulled that off.
And Tim Walz would try, but then he'd burn everybody.
He'd start a fire. So it's been kind of fun to watch it, but we're going to play some of it. First, this is a really quick one, but it's just Donald Trump. I mean, what genius to do, rather than letting all the reporters crowd in and do the interview with him inside the McDonald's or when he's done outside. He's leaning out. Yeah. He's leaning out of the drive-through.
Sort of give him the finger.
Yeah, the drive-through window. And they've got to interview him there while he's wearing his McDonald's
thing. He looks good in his McDonald's.
If we could please, Thomas, play the Trump McDonald's. This is a quick one, but the Trump McDonald's soundbite.
Mr. President, you actually have worked at McDonald's now.
Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Are you going to put this on your resume?
I never work here.
Why would she lie about something like that? Will we put on
It's just so, like from Charlene, the opposition doesn't have the creativity to respond. It was hilarious. Well, and that's the thing. If the left were smart, they would have just, number one, they should have just ignored it and pretended it didn't.
It had such a positive impact. They couldn't.
And well, exactly. And so instead, they're trying to attack it, which makes them seem stupid. You know,
no,
like,
but it reemphasizes the fact that McDonald's, I mean, it is giving another boost of publicity. I mean, there's. Nothing better than this. Nothing.
No, because everyone, and we'll get some more soundbite too. I mean, so J.D. Vance, the Fox, Dana Perino, who was a little bit snippy about it, you could tell. She was
Hemmer.
Yeah.
He was very snippy.
Yeah.
Your campaign take the position that you never worked at McDonald's? And J.D. Vance is great. I don't know if we have an official position.
Well, then we'll play the time. So if we could please play J.D. Vance number one.
These people are accusing him of a stage-managed thing. Of course, the president has to have security because there have been two attempts on his life in the last 8 weeks. He can't just walk into a McDonald's and you know, sign a W-9 and actually go on the payroll. That's just not how this works, especially given the security threats on his life. But look, he was interacting with people. He was talking to the employees. He was giving people food. And he was just being, I think, what he does best, which is just being among the people, talking to them about what they care about. He showed, I think, genuine interest in the employees and their lives and where they came from and what they were actually doing in their job. And that's something you can't stage and you can't fake. That is just the genuine person that Donald Trump is. And it's why I think a lot of working people, even though, of course, he's a successful real estate billionaire, have this emotional connection to Donald Trump.
And I think that's one of the things, right? They keep, but you watch the Kamala Harris ads, they keep trying to say he's a billionaire, right? But he does not come across, he comes across as a billionaire that you would eat McDonald's with. A billionaire you might have a
beer
with,
right?
Well,
that's because he goes to McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, you think that Barack Obama eats at McDonald's or his wife, they eat it. But never, never. Do you believe that Trump does? Oh, yeah. You know he does.
Well, it's not fake at all. Like, remember when Elizabeth Warren was doing that commercial or whatever, the thing in the beer, and like her husband walks by and goes, honey, I'm having a beer. And, you know, it's like.
How do you open these anyway?
Yeah. And she gets out the corkscrew. No, she didn't. But you could tell. I mean, she doesn't drink beer, right? And Donald Trump, and he does also, like I said, he's a sales guy. And he just has that. That's part of his personality. And
it's a part of his personality you never see.
Right.
They want you to have the vicious fascist.
Right.
That's mainly killing people.
The Atlantic, it's not enough to call Trump Hitler. It's not enough to call him Stalin. It's not enough to call him Mussolini. Instead, a recent Atlantic headline said, Donald Trump is talking like Stalin, Mussolini, and Hitler. Like, ooh.
All of them often work at fast food restaurants
yeah.
on their way to the top.
That's it. What McDonald's has added a new burger for Harris. It's called the Chicken Big Mac. Exactly. It's from Charlene. McDonald's and Trump go together like a horse and carriage. Well, and you know, and there was another soundbite in there, and I saw it, and then I should have grabbed it. But where some of the people going through the drive-thru lane were saying things like, you know, hey, it's great that, you know, you took the time to come see ordinary people with us. And what does Donald Trump respond? He says, you're not ordinary. You're not ordinary at all, right? Now, Kamala Harris would be like, you're deplorable, and I have to now wash my hands and sanitize them.
And I don't see any diversity in this car.
I don't see any diversity in this car.
Hold those kids up. Nope, they're not diverse.
And that, I mean, this was, it's too bad they don't give, you know, like Nobel Prizes for genius campaigns.
I think there probably are ones.
I mean, this is genius, and that they can't top it. And better yet, though, it also exposes, and here's what I'm going to talk about a little bit, the underlying yet another lie of Kamala Harris's campaign. It was a few years ago, she started talking about she worked at McDonald's without any evidence, having never mentioned it before, right? And she's doing that to try to somehow their campaign thinks by saying, well, Donald Trump's a billionaire, like Kamala Harris isn't pretty darn rich anyway.
She had two parents with doctorates and highly intelligent and highly snooty.
Right.
So yeah. I can imagine her kind of going, Hey, mom and dad.
I need to work at McDonald's. So,
Donald,
I mean,
hey.
she's totally making that up to make her sound more working class. The trouble is, Donald Trump is a billionaire, comes across as way more working class and relatable than Kamala does. But the snooty people on the Fox asked J.D. Vance about that, too. If we could please play the Vance number two.
Did she work at McDonald's as a student in college, or was she lying?
I don't know if there's a campaign position on it. What I find, and I have spoken to Donald Trump about this, what we find weird about this is that Kamala Harris has been able to produce no evidence that she worked at McDonald's, and she didn't even talk about it until 2019 during, I believe, her first run for the United States Senate. So I don't know what's ultimately true here, but it's interesting where the media will try to nitpick and micromanage every single thing that me or Donald Trump has said, and yet they just buy into this narrative from Kamala Harris that she invented 5, 6 years ago. Why don't they just do some journalism? Maybe it's true, maybe it isn't, but I know I don't trust the media's lack of curiosity about this issue when they're so curious and nitpicking everything else that the Republican candidates do.
And somebody was tweeting, 51 intelligence officers confirmed that you worked at McDonald's. Well, interestingly, McDonald's put out a statement, and they were being a little cagey, saying that they do not have any evidence, any records, anything that shows Kamala Harris ever worked at any McDonald's
or didn't
anywhere.
Work at any McDonald's.
Right. And then they say, no, we don't have all of the records for all of the
for
employees.
Alaska, 1942.
Yeah, exactly. Dating back to whatever, 1983. But you know that they would not have put that out if they were not pretty darn sure that Kamala Harris wasn't going to suddenly show up with the W-2.
I've told you, the Social Security Administration, right. Remember Obama got his Social Security out of Connecticut, although he'd never worked in Connecticut, but they trace it down to where he, and so Kamala has his Social Security number, I assume, and they can trace it down to where she got it, and then they go back to the records, you know, do we owe her $12.35 over 20 years.
Well, and McDonald's would have filed something, right?
They
would
well, they, you know, they may not keep it. I'm sure they'd have, well, would. But the Department of, you know, they keep everything. They have to, really.
Right.
And they kind of, did we leave out those years?
Well, and I can tell you this. My daughter worked briefly at McDonald's.
She did not.
I know, because I drove her back and forth when she was in high school. And actually, they do keep kind of tricky records because most of the kids are like 14, right? And so 14, 15, so they're not adults. So now they broke them at the McDonald's she worked at, which she was glad about because she got more hours. But they did keep records. But McDonald's said, yeah, we do not have any record anywhere that Kamala worked here. And then they said she can come if she wants. So just like
any old time.
Yeah.
Any old time.
And then
and Trump apparently fixed the milkshake machine. I know how to do that.
And then what's funny is the media claimed Kamala did so provide evidence. Her campaign said she did.
Yeah.
And a friend said she did.
A friend. We don't.
Kind of like what was a stupid Blasey Ford friends, right? I mean, the Democrats have friends that can kind of, they can just whip them up out of thin air to say
terrifying.
Whatever you need him to do. And so from Charlene, yes, Social Security would have a record. They have a record of my very first job. Exactly. And like I said, McDonald's was kind of touchy about that but they were meticulous about it with Jenny because
they don't want to get in the middle of a political fight.
No, so they kind of said, you know, we might not, it's possible we don't have the record, but we don't. Okay. And like I said, I'm sure they wouldn't be saying that if they thought she could produce it. Plus, she would have produced it if she could have produced it.
Well, once again, just go SS. What's her SS number? Put it on a computer, you know, in 12 seconds.
Right. And here's the thing, too. Again,
they didn't really do that back in 84. Bullshit.
Yes. And the reason it is, I just think it was so brilliant, is number one, it's just funny. So even if you don't like Trump, right?
But he's the most likable.
He's very,
many times he's not very likable, especially when he's attacking people
and
stuff. That was an incredibly likable Donald Trump that most people never get to see.
Right. And he was having fun. He was clearly having fun. And the Kamala campaign is, once again, it says she's lying. Right. I mean, everything, the underlying problem she has, too, is she comes across as so fakey. Right. And so it kind of also adds to the sense that people already have that everything about Kamala is
well,
fake.
If Kamala,
she could even lie about working at McDonald's.
I mean, if she said, hey, I worked at a strip club in between my friends, you kind of, well, maybe, you know, that's a possibility. But to say she worked at a McDonald's with her snooty self, I don't think so.
No, and so it's interesting. And they'll show the still picture too, because I was reading the thing because I want to get your take on this. Let's just show that, Thomas, if we could. This is a still picture of Trump. I mean, look,
Yeah, I
this
know. Look at that.
is
My God, that's staged? I mean, does he look perfect?
It's Donald Trump. For those of you who are just listening, he's leaning out the drive-through window. He's got his traditional red tie on, the McDonald's thing, and he's waving a hand like, "Hey, thank you for your order," kind of thing, right? And I was reading a thing that said this is a picture
Oh,
that will change the election. What do you
yes.
think of
Oh,
that?
anything can happen in 2 weeks, but this is an election winner. I mean, it's just he looks so friendly, so nice. And the other thing I noticed about Donald, I'm 40 years younger than he is, but he looks incredibly young for 78 or 79.
MSNBC, I was listening to one of their bites, and guys, I couldn't put it on. It was making me throw up in my mouth. And then they went on too long. But they're trying to say this is evidence that Trump has dementia, that he would do something like
Oh
this. It's
yeah,
like,
a
what?
brilliant dementia. Yeah, this should be dementia. Like winning the election, you don't want to win the election, do
Like,
you?
if all the things that they try to attack Donald Trump by, they're trying to say, well, he's exhausted. Nothing about Donald Trump comes across as exhausted or having dementia or anything like that. They're
That's
like,
how far they've had to go. I mean,
right.
what are we going to do with this?
Right.
What are we going to do with this?
That's right. That's hilarious, Charlene, saying about the picture. He also classed at McDonald's with that white shirt. Well, yeah. And then again, the left, they show the door that says the McDonald's was closed while he was there. Well, of course, it was
Oh,
closed while he was there.
Iranian sharpshooters, welcome in.
Yeah.
Got a
I
good shot at him.
mean, and those two pictures of Trump bleeding after being shot in the head with his fist up in the air saying, fight, fight, fight. And then there's McDonald's
Yes,
in the same
yes,
campaign.
yes,
It's the
yes.
Democrats, I tell you what, they are in warehouses right now filled with illegal immigrant children who are printing up ballots. I mean,
Right, and voting.
they've taken over Amazon warehouses
Right. Right.
and they're just printing up ballots. You're going to find in this election that, more than the population of the earth voted in
Yes.
this election because that's what they're going to have to do. So I don't know. Do you think it'll change? To me, I think it will because I think that's a kind of thing that if you weren't really paying attention, if you don't really, I kind of don't like Donald Trump, but you look at that and it's just funny, and he does not look like a threat to
It's
democracy.
so contrary to his image that is
Right.
painted by the left. But yes, I think if he wins, you'll have to credit that one, Biden's debate performance, and what was the other one you came up with?
Kamala's debate performance,
No, she won that one.
the DNC. I'm not sure what you're asking about.
There's one other thing that's iconic in this election that tipped it toward Trump, and I don't remember.
Well, yeah, but well, enough as, right? It's just the fact that the economy sucks is doing that enough. And interesting, before we get to some, we're going to talk about some local stuff, but I just think this is interesting too. So, also over the weekend, as we know, when we played it before, the soundbite where CBS, they didn't just edit the interview they did with Kamala Harris. They took a question, and in the raw video, the original video, the real video, she kind of stumbles and bumbles her way through an answer. In the video that they put up on YouTube, they don't just edit the stumbles out, which sometimes I admit can happen, right? They give a completely different answer. They pulled an answer from a completely different question someplace else in the interview and put that in as a direct response, right? I mean, that's violating all kinds, well, what used to be all kinds of
Yeah.
journalism rules, right? What's interesting is, so we all know that, and it's been all over, people have been playing it. An FCC commissioner has said he wants to investigate that. He said that basically is more than just editing. That's
Right.
clearly distorting the news and
Right.
deliberately distorting the news to try to influence things,
Right.
right? Now, will they do that or not? I don't know. But what I
No, because
found,
the majority of the SEC members are Democrats.
yeah. But what I found very interesting is clearly there's enough pressure on CBS
Yes.
that they felt compelled to issue a
Yeah,
response.
that's unique. That's unique.
I mean, normally they would just like ignore it.
Right.
Right? They would just ignore it. So they put, and of course, the response was no good too, saying, oh, we just
Yeah,
edited
the
it for
response.
no. Well, I mean, they didn't say it audio wise. I mean, they just said, well, we just edited things, for brevity and clarity or something like
Right.
that. But what's interesting is, and listen, and Sherry, I see you there, so we'll get to you in a second. When you look at talking about the impact or lack thereof that the corporate media has, so when Fox did the interview with Kamala Harris, they had 7.8 million viewers. When CNN did it, they had 6.3. The CBS interview that we're talking about had 5.7 million. ABC had 3.1. When she appeared on the Stephen Colbert show, 2.9 million.
Wow.
And on MSNBC, 1.8 million, right? So that's not very many. When you put that in context, your average Elon Musk tweet,
right,
has a million, sometimes up to 7 million, more than any of these put together, more people see. And I mean, that's so it's not, it's, you know, more people see an average Elon Musk tweet than any of the corporate media,
right?
And so what's interesting is way more people, is where I'm going with this, way more people have seen the edited hack, right, that saw the actual interview. So that's just kind of an interesting, and that's another reason I think they're freaking out and they want to go after Elon Musk, don't you think?
Well, yeah, in addition to the fact he's giving him millions and huge publicity and what you want to be, no sane person would dare vote for Trump. And you kind of go, oh, the world's richest man's voting for Trump.
Hey, we've got Sherry from Lakewood. Hey, Sherry, thanks for calling in.
Hi, since you're talking about Kamala and being fake, Charlene had mentioned Candace Owens the other day, and I love Candace, but there's just a lot of people. So I went back and looked at some of her stuff, and she has been very uneasy being a black woman of Kamala calling herself black.
Right.
And so she's dived really deep into research on her genetics, her history. And it's coming out that the one lady that she claimed as a grandma probably wasn't. But
I'm reading about that.
What Candace said, because it's just, she says, I am truly untypically speechless. I don't think I possess within me the adequate vocabulary to discuss my distaste for a woman who borrowed a black person for her autobiography so that she could secure the black vote. Do you understand how fundamentally racist that is? Do you understand how despicable that is? I mean, you have to be the worst kind of political vermin to borrow a black person to put in your book to present to the public as your grandma, who definitely was not your white Irish grandma. Okay, well, I can't. I don't have the words. It is essentially the worst kind of blackface. Okay, this is what you're seeing.
Well, and it's so worse than she said that. She didn't just do it there. Remember, so at the convention, they kept showing all these little black kids on stage, and they were her she was their auntie, right? Now, they didn't say that they were her nieces and nephews. No, they said she was her auntie. Like, you know, you might call your mother's best friend your auntie. Meanwhile, they completely ignored her white stepdaughter with Doug Emhoff. So you're absolutely, I mean, she's been borrowing black people to stick on stage with herself and claim to be related. I mean, that's what she does, I guess, these days, Sherry. You're right.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. It's like, when you saw that and you're like, Kamala doesn't have any children. It's like, what do you mean, your auntie?
Yeah, right.
Right? Do you have a black sister and these are her children? No, that's where they came from. And what about your own stepdaughter? How come she doesn't get to be on stage?
Yeah,
because she's white, right?
Right.
It's kind of like, and then Barney is saying, and that Candace says the pictures don't match, it's not grandma. Well, and again, here's the thing, that the mainstream media is not going to look into that, right? Just like they can't, maybe the grandmother could say whether she worked at McDonald's or not. I don't know. And, you know, and then anybody black who tries to call her out, like, didn't Janet Jackson say she's not black, right? And she got in trouble and was scolded and told that she'd be canceled if she said stuff like that, right? So it's just, it's ridiculous. But I think the campaign, and I'm only halfway joking about them leasing out warehouses filled with illegal immigrant children who are filling out ballots.
And entire houses full of ballots for them to fill out.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's all kinds of information coming out. So it's not going that well for them. And we'll see. I mean, you know, I don't trust the polls at all very much anymore.
Well, anything's possible. And the amount of difference between Trump and Harris is incredibly infinitesimally small. So normally it would absolutely be, it's a toss-up. In some sense, it is a toss-up.
Right.
Boy, it sure doesn't feel like a toss-up. Any of me being tossed up, it's Kamala Harris.
And she doesn't
oh,
get to.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Charlene. Go ahead.
You know, the thing about Trump is like, he can ride a John Deere tractor and look authentic and not try to be a farmer, you know?
Right.
He's like a city slicker just driving a tractor, and he can relate that way. You know, it's like, show me your world. Show me your farm, you know,
right.
Show me your McDonald's. Whereas Kamala has to pretend to be something she's not to try to relate. You
well,
see what
middle
I mean?
Class, and, you know, they should have a house.
Yeah,
instead
of just
in
saying,
Quebec for her parents.
You know, I born, my parents both had their doctorates, and, you know, and then just be who she is and then not worry about trying to relate, because that comes across as so phony. But, you know, Trump, in my opinion, has won the election. And the only problem, you know, they're trying to make it sound like it's close in certain states, and they're pulling out lots of little shenanigans in different states. But, he's won the election, but the issue now is, what do we do if they sabotage it? And
exactly.
And I don't mean to be a downer, but some people were talking on another talk show about this Department of Defense directive that's come out, and I'm not sure about the, you know, all the implications are, but I'm just, you know, I'm just wondering, what do we do? Do we just
I agree, Charlene. I think, and they're setting us up for this. I know the Fox election desk head guy said that he thought it would be at least 4 days before we had election results. Now, why is that? Do you know what I mean? I mean, they're
setting up. Got to count those extra million.
They got to ship them in from the warehouse. No, I absolutely agree with you. And this is something I really worry about.
Didn't Michigan Secretary of State say the ballots were late, weren't going to get there for?
Oh, of course they were. Sure.
Right.
Next day. And so they're setting us up, you know, for that scenario. And so I don't know. I'm just
well, the Democrats are already saying that they won't certify the election. They may not certify it, right?
No, don't.
I mean, it's I think, yeah, there's no reason it needs to take 4 days to have an announcement, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is going to be, I frankly think, a very, I don't want to, maybe not physically dangerous, but dangerous time in this country to see what happens there.
Well,
because
and we for divine intervention, just like with the bullet, you know, missing.
Yeah.
Trump. So that's what I'm hoping for, and a good turnout.
Exactly. Because I know you read things that say, well, we've got all the lawyers are there and blah, blah. I'm telling you what, we've already seen what happens if you try to file a lawsuit after the election.
Well, we also found out what
the judges won't deal with.
If you file a lawsuit ahead of time, down in Texas, the guy said, no, you can't investigate fraud because that statute, you know, says this. They've been in Georgia saying, no, you can't require proof of license.
Identity
license. No, you can't. So that's what they do. They pull all these lawsuits at the last moment before they can be appealed,
right?
If appeal would do you any good. So, you know, protest early, protest late, protest not at all.
Charlene, I do agree with you. I think, I don't know what happens. I like I said, I think it is a very precarious time that we're in here. But in the meantime, though, I think you're right. I think it's stuff like this, so the McDonald's and things like that, the Trump campaign is just brilliant. They keep doing it. They keep showing people liking him, which makes it harder and harder. My only concern is I don't think the Democrats care anymore. They've seen in the last few years, just like the CBS interview, they can just lie. Kamala Harris can just say, I work at McDonald's, and the mainstream media says, well, her campaign told us that's what must be true, right? They just lie. And I worry that they aren't even going to pretend. They're just going to come out and say, forget counting the ballots. You know, Kamala Harris won. And if you don't like it, we're going to arrest you as a domestic terrorist. So not to be a downer on that either. All right. Thanks, Charlene. And Dr. Donna, I'll get to you in a second because we're going to promo you. Wanted to talk about something else that's kind of fun. And we've talked about this a few times on the show. So Rhino Watch had this came out again on Friday. So if you haven't checked it out, it's rhinowatchco.com. All of the people, including the state central committee people who attended either Trader Todd's fake meeting or voted to oust Dave Williams, Hope Shuppelman, and Anna Ferguson.
Unless you were there to protest it and didn't voted against it.
Right. And it's the people, it's a list of the elected officials who voted, who either attended the meeting and voted to oust Dave. And then it's a list of the people who weren't actual voting members, but people like Eli Bremmer, Britta Horn, or she might actually have been a voting member. Marion Tone, all of these people who were there and they voted for ousting Dave. Well, what is hilarious is some of them are now complaining to Dave. They want an investigation.
Fully investigated.
Fully investigated.
So DOJ.
Yeah. They're going to get the 51 intelligence officers. So the people who voted treacherously and traitorously and illegally. Oh, there you go. Thank you. Whoever is sharing that. The people who voted traitorously are now complaining to Dave that they want an investigation into their names being released.
Right.
It's like, so what did they think was going to happen? And they're saying that this is divisive and a time when we need to be uniting. So let's get this straight. So the people who voted to destroy the party, who actively tried to destroy the party, are now
complaining, right?
And they want Dave to investigate the people who tried to investigate the organizations that stood up for him. And I don't know. I mean, I don't even get that kind of logic. Do you?
They say it violates the 11th commandment of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Speak no ill of other Republicans.
That's right.
They just defamed and libeled Anna and Hope and everything else.
They tried to destroy the party.
They destroyed the election because they...
What Ronald Reagan would have to say about that.
And also, as a practical matter, have you ever been part of a primary? No Republicans speak ill about each other. So it's hilarious that they're trying to, in some pathetic way, kind of go, oh, no.
Oh, thank you, Thomas. Thomas says, if you want, there's the link to it so you can see it. Well, and they are mad.
Man.
When you read that letter, it's like, this is treason and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, you need to investigate. And Dave points out, like, I don't have any control over it. It'd be like saying, you need to investigate the Denver Post or you need to investigate whatever. How's Dave? So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But then on top of that, now there's stuff going around on Facebook. And I'm just calling this out because these people need to be called out. Okay. And they need to be.
And deported.
And yeah. And if Republicans decide this is the leadership they want, then great. But you need to know what you're voting for. Okay. And that's what they don't like. They don't like the fact, because some of these people flat out lied about the fact that they did not do this. Right. I mean, they lied when people said, well, do you have it there? And I mean, were you there? Or did you vote? And they're like, no, no. And all of a sudden it's like, well, here's your signed proxy. It's like,
Was that for that meeting?
I was confused. Yeah. Well, exactly. And so now Christy Fedora, who was the, she beat Laurel Eimer for the Republican National Committee woman, right, is now launching a thing. She wants to call people unicorns. She said,
she's part of this list.
She's part of the list. She's part of the list, right? She's one of those ones who wanted to oust Dave. And Britta Horn, who was elected the vice chair, are now wandering around trying to stir up support, stir up hatred, basically saying that we need to expose the people. We need to expose the traitors who are calling out the traitors.
No, that wasn't the point of the letter. The letters are to show that they're wonderful, nice people and not divisive at all. So what they'll do, and they say, you know, people, you know, they're unicorns in the sense that we're here to build everything up. What they are is decepticons.
Yeah.
That's what they really are. And they're saying, we'll publish names of great patriots. But if you go on and be part of Britta Horns or some of these others, kind of like, these are the nice people.
They're not.
You kind of go, thank you. We didn't know they were traitors.
Total traitors. And Christy Fedora, I will mention, had plenty of time to go to Trader Todd's meetings,
yes,
right? But she does not have time to attend the state party executive committee
meetings. Or executive committees, or actually she didn't come down to the real one that was done in
the real
meetings.
Yeah, that's right. No,
she didn't have time for those meetings, but now she's ready to go out and join the unicorn or Decepticon party.
And Charlene says, oh, I'm glad they're concerned about it. Must be getting flack from their constituents. Well, exactly. And this is one of the reasons, I think, between now and kind of going forward, we're going to continue talking about this. Is I guarantee you the establishment, I mean, they tried through lawsuits, they tried through fake meetings, they were slapped down by the court, they lost their fake meeting to declare, just to declare themselves the Republican Party, right? To just a coup, basically. And they are not going away and saying, oh, well, I guess we lost. Good job, Dave. We're all going to work together now. No, they are working hard at making sure that people like Chuck and Ben Nicholas and me and people who are PCPs, people who got involved at the basic level and who became voting members of the Republican Party, who got involved with their county politics, right? They are doing everything they can to make sure that grassroots are purged from the party. They don't
said we have unicorns.
Yeah, and instead they'll have unicorns. So the thing is we need to know who the people are, because I know Daniel Bellefontaine, the Adams County chair, just flat out lied to people and said, oh, no, I had no involvement. I was just helping get the location. Well, no, he attended the meeting and he voted oust Dave, right? And so there are other people. And so, you know, I would encourage you to look at the list and elected officials. It's like state elected officials who are now going to turn around and say to Dave, you hurt the election. So just from Charlene, Dave should say you need to ask about your chairman, Eli, to do something about it. Exactly. Exactly. So Dr. Donna says, I get the newsletter and the names on the list. She said it was a shameful attempting such a thing as the early voting begins anew next spring. Those of us who voted to change the bylaws that Dave followed. What was the issue problem in the middle of a very election, very important election too? Yeah, the only issue is they were losing, right? And I think they were afraid that Trump might do well in Colorado and that Dave would look good. And that would help solidify his place. From Dr. Donna, some of those involved were considered themselves grassroots just a few years ago and participated in this. Todd Watkins.
Oh, yeah, he's Todd. A good friend, there's no right? bigger grassroots guy. He attacked Ken Buck. He went after all these people. And then one day, you know, the Anschutz angel came down to him. And all of a sudden, he hated grassroots.
Like Anschutz angel. Well, and it is just so funny. So that, again, and so we'll stay on top of that, too, that they're demanding an investigation. So the people who were the worst traitors, the most divisive of all, are demanding an investigation because making their names public, that's divisive.
Or they want to identify themselves as unicorns, the nicest of Republicans. Oh, they're so nice. Britta Horn. Oh, poor Britta. I mean, she's great.
Yeah. So anyway, that's that. We'll keep on that. Dr. Donna, so I want to let you know on Wednesday, Colonel Mills is going to be on the show. Colonel John Mills, there's been some reports lately. They've been somewhat obscure because the corporate media won't tell you about it, but there have been like dozens of drones flying over military bases recently, and no one knows where the drones are coming from. And as I understand it, the reason the drones are flying over like in swarms, right? So it's not like your kid from the neighborhood has a drone and he's playing it. And the idea of having them flying in swarms is they can't, if you're the military, you can't like jam it, I guess. That's not very technical terms, but that's the idea, right? And the military, because they're so concerned with DEI stuff, has no idea where these drones are coming from, nor do they seem to be able to stop them.
No, it's just too tough. It's too tough.
It's just, I'm like, what? And
they ought to go to Secret Service, get some of those guys.
Yeah, they're sharpshooters.
Who can't hit a side of a barn.
It's insane. So we have Colonel Mills is going to talk about that. But also, Dr. Donna, we're going to have you on the show, too. And if you want to just join, and I'll send you the link, but if you want to just join by Zoom and at 3:30, Dr. Donna will come on at 3:30 to talk about her campaign. So just pop in on the Zoom, okay? And then Johnny Johnson, who's running in HD1, is going to be on Friday to talk about his campaign.
That'll be
great. If there are any other candidates,
unless
your name is on this list, that's right. If there are any other candidates who are listening and want a chance just to talk, because it's hard, to get anybody to do that.
I can't propose to give you a positive.
Right, you're welcome to do that and come on our show. Dr. Donna says okie dokie. And Dr. Donna's like, no, my name is not on that list. And Charlene, you have to think this is absolutely right. Making names public is what one would expect when holding such a position, even as a PCP and a candidate. Exactly. And from Charlene, if they were proud of their actions, they should want the world to know. Exactly. They were putting out on Twitter, you know, Britta Horn's the vice chair and stuff like that. You would think that she'd be like, well, I was proud we had to do it to save the party. But instead,
yeah,
they're like,
right.
No, this is divisive and treasonous.
But I'm so. A unicorn now, so don't you criticize me. We're the nice side. We were the most vicious we could possibly be. But once we lost, no, we're totally different.
And I think that's going to do it for us today, right? We might wrap up. Wrapping up just a little bit early, right?
Right.
That's all right. All right. So anyway, so Friday, Colonel Mills, not Friday, Wednesday, Colonel Mills and Dr. Donna, and we'll be regular time, everybody. But that'll do it for us today. We will see everybody on Party Wednesday, I guess.
Party Wednesday. And check the list to see if you're on there. I'm sure you're not.